Yo, I want to feel like an American rapper today. My name is Alijah Adebowale. It's still the best sporting show in the whole of the universe. It's still News Instant Sport. I got the whole crew with me today. I got Oracle Koji. I have the grand sportsmaster Olaale, and of course I have everybody that's out with me. Sadly, we're missing Olainka today, but the show must continue. Every live on Apple Podcasts, of course, Spotify, and of course on a band video scope. Guys, stream, like, and share for God's sakes. And of course, visit our YouTube channel. I'm gonna allow my guests to introduce themselves. I'm gonna start with Oroku Kachi. Kachi, you wanna speak French today? Why don't you make the introduction in French?
Oh. salut tout le monde. J'espère que vous allez bien. Je m'appelle Kachi, aka Oracle Kachi. Aujourd'hui, on célébrait, en anglais, c'est les GOAT du sport NFL. Tom Brady, il s'appelle Tom Brady, qui fait le retraitement dans le week-end. Et aussi, on célébrait Rafa Nadal, qui gagnait le tournoi Australian Open. Et pour le 21 fois, en anglais, on sait congratulations. I think I'm just going to stop there and go back to English. big congratulations to Rafael Nadal for breaking the record as well. And we also celebrate the career of the greatest to ever do it in the quarterback position, Tom Brady. All this we will dissect. Stay tuned for a cracking show.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much. Olaale.
Yeah, good day, sporting fans around the world. Welcome to the show. Despite the fact that there was no game in the European League, the AFCON is still ongoing. Burkina Faso entered the semi-final. I think there is a bit of shift of power in African football that we are not taking note. This should be Burkina Faso's third appearance in the semi-final of the Nations Cup, I think in the last five or six editions. That is some consistency. We need to take note of that.
All right, perfect. Shay.
Hello, sport fans around the world. Welcome to the show. It was quite an eventful weekend in the sports world. Congratulations to Rafa, record-breaking 21st Grand Slam. Also, congratulations to Ash Batsy also. Breaking also a new record, winning the Australian Open as an Australian. That should be the first in the last 44 years thereabouts. Uh-huh. And also, I think she just completed Grand Slam on all surfaces also, making, I think, the fifth player active at the moment after Rafa Nadal, Federer, Djokovic, and Serena. I think she's the fifth active player that has completed Grand Slam on all surfaces. Amazing. So congratulations to her.
All right, perfect. So she has joined an elite club. Of course, we'll start with the new king in town. We have a new king in town. It used to be...
Famous Rafa.
Yeah, it used to be... what's up? Is it going to be Roger, Novak, or Rafa? But Rafa did it dog deep, two set down. And of course, when I saw Rafa was two set down, I felt bad for Medev already. Instead of feeling that Medev is going to win, I felt, oh, this is about time. If Rafa should win the next set, then it's all over. And he did it in wonderful style, winning three of the five sets. Kudos to Medvedev as well. He did what he could do best, but of course, like they say, Nelly is never enough. Kachi, I'm gonna start with you. Now, I don't want to take shine off Rafa breaking the record. Is it safe to say he's the new king right now? Because of course, it should be.
You are speaking to a very biased supporter of Rafa Nadal. I've always felt he's the best, but that's a personal opinion. In terms of the numbers, you would definitely say yes. He's only the fifth person I think the sixth person rather ever in the open era to have won on every surface at least twice. Also the first person in since 1965 to come down, to come back from two sets down, to come back and win. The match itself was the second longest Grand Slam final game, lasting 5 hours, 24 minutes. And the way he did it, the consistency he showed, coming from someone who 6 months ago, 6 months or 6 weeks ago, wasn't sure he would ever play the sport of tennis again. That tells me, to me, in numbers alone, is the greatest. Records are meant to be broken. You still have to recognize the people who pushed him, because these three guys pushed each other to achieve an eclipse record set by the Pete Sampras of this world. I think Nadal, you can argue it, I think he's the greatest, but definitely it's arguable how he won it. The number of times he won on certain surfaces may also come into play. But when you look at the number of ATP titles, Grand Slam winning, I mean, even based on numbers alone, you have to give him that. But it definitely is arguable.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much, Kachi. Shay, I'm going to come for you now. Without taking anything away from Rafa and what he achieved during this Australian Open, but would we have had a different scenario if Novak was not silly and was in this tournament?
I think hypothetically. I think it would definitely would have been a different tournament. There's no way Novak would be in this particular Grand Slam and it will not be in the final. Now, my question now would be, who actually will be facing, would have been facing Novak in the final? I think Nadal had to put into play everything he has done over his last 20 years into that particular game against Medvedev. We've seen Medvedev over the last 6 months growing into a top contender. In the male tennis. We've seen him beat Novak in the last Grand Slam tournament, US Open. And he has also played final of the Australian Open last year also. And he shows that is a good player on hard court. And I sincerely think if Novak was in this tournament, there's possibility of Nadal probably losing in the semifinal to one of the contenders. Could have been Novak Medvedev in the final. But this, we cannot really 100% say that.
That
was what's supposed to happen, because it never happened.
Never happened.
But definitely, if Djokovic was in this tournament, it would definitely be a different tournament for Nadal.
Different ballgame. Yeah. All right, perfect. Thank you very much for that, Shay. Olali, do you agree with Shay on that one? That, of course, we don't want to still shine away from me winning the 21st Grand Slam. But in years to come, are we going to be in sport analysts saying, what if?
We already started doing that. And I think that was the biggest concern for me when it was obvious that Novak was going to miss this competition, because going into this competition, I think Novak has been probably the strongest of the big three. Let me use that word in the last 24 months. Yeah, that momentum was already there. Everybody was actually surprised that he lost the US Open final. That was a big shock. And we feel that this Australian Open could have been an avenue for him to redeem himself from that loss.
Yeah.
So, of course, that if will always be there. It will never go away. Rafael Nadal, we have to deal with that. Especially, probably if he ends up to be the most successful or the most successful of the three. And by the time you take a look at it, probably you look at Novak missing probably this Australian Open, probably the next two. And if Nadal edge him eventually by one or two titles, if will always be there. We can't, there is no way that conversation. We always
bring up the okay, perfect. Yeah. Thank you very much for that, Olali. Kachi, what next now? Of course, Kings always retire at the end of the day. Michael Jordan did, Maradona, Pele did. At a point in time, we're going to see Rafa, Roger, and Djokovic. Who do you think is going to be the next prince? Like that is that they called Ipeba those days, Prince of Monaco. Who's going to be the Prince of Monaco for tennis?
As the popular saying, the king is dead, long live the king. I think, unlike the female game, we can rest assured knowing that the male game is in very good hands. Taking into, considering just the caliber or the quality of game Daniel Medvedev gave Rafa Nadal when they just completed Aussie Open, it lets you know that between Medvedev, Alexander Zverev, that's the next iteration of superstars of tennis, male tennis superstars, are just around the corner. And a very fun fact for those of us that like to keep this record, this year was the first time that 6 out of the 8 quarterfinalists were aged 25 or younger. It's never happened before. Two Canadians in Felix Auger-Aliassime and Shapovalov, I think, Shapovalov. Age 22 and 21, could have respectively defeated the eventual finalists in the Australian Open. They both took Medvedev and Nadal to 5 sets. It tells you that the game is very much in good hands. So back to your question, who are the next set of people? You already have them there. Daniel Medvedev will ultimately be a Grand Slam champion. No, I think he's won one already, but he will be a multiple Grand Slam champion. Alexander Zverev is not far off. Even the notorious Australian bad boy won the male doubles tournament in this Australian Open. So it means that sometimes it may, as we say in Nigeria, pardon me for those who don't speak Yoruba, only serves in one lower. That means everything can just be very perfect and somebody else comes out to win it. So I'm really happy with the level of talent behind the big three. It tells me, and I'm more assured than I am in the female game, that the male game is in very good hands.
All right, perfect. So just a quick rundown of our top 10 in the world right now. Still, King Novak sitting on top, Daniel Medvedev, number 2, Alexander Zverev, 3, Stefanos Tsitsipas, the Greek wonder boy.
Tsitsipas
on number 4. Rafael Nadal, number 5. Mandy Rublev on number 6. Matteo Berrettini, the Italian muscle man, is number 7 right now. Kaspar Ruud is number 8. And Felix Ilya, the Canadian, is number 9. While Jannik Sinner is number 10 right now in the world. So, to the female version, as expected, we all knew Barty is probably going to win. I fancied Sabalenka to get to the final, but she did not. No surprises at the end of the day. The early starter, the early set pacers seem like they are not interested in tennis right now. The Naomi Osakas of this world, they did not feel like they're interested. Ashley could be potentially, but the inconsistency in female tennis is just so disheartening. So I won't want to talk about actually being the next kid on the block or being the next great. We just wait till she can actually convince us that she is the next person to watch out for and could potentially win multiple Grand Slam with a level of consistency. Olali, I'm going to come to you right now. Move to the basketball world right now. The All-Stars is out. All-star list. And I'm just probably going to mention the five top five players from each conference.
The starting five.
The starting five from each conference. We have Steph Curry, Nikola Jokic, LeBron, Ja Morant playing one of the probably the best basketballer right now. Andrew Wiggins as well. No shock on that side. How do you feel about the roster?
Yeah, well, I think the roster probably reflects what majority of basketball fans have been actually been thinking. I just think with the Steph Curry for how he started the season, Ja Morant for where he has actually elevated the Memphis Grizzlies, LeBron being LeBron, probably the only man carrying, what do you call it, the Lakers. Andrew Wiggins, I think that is a bit of, I think if Paul George was not injured, probably Paul George should have been there, because I think at the time Paul George was actually leading, was one of the top contenders in that particular role. But because I think most fans realized he was injured. And again, when you play in the big market, it counts. I think playing in the big market with the likes of Steph Curry, rubbed on Andrew Wiggins, and probably you can argue that, okay, in that role, Anthony Davis was injured for a long period. We've not really seen him.
Is he still a basketballer?
There is no Kawhi Leonard. He's back. There is no Kawhi Leonard. A lot of people have been injured playing that, what do you call it? Power forward.
Yeah.
So, I think that's just the only, but I think the biggest omission from the West, that probably because of the greatness of Steph Curry and what Ja Morant has actually done this season, I think is Devin Booker. They are the top team in the West. In fact, they are the top team overall in the league. They've won 9 consecutive games. He's been their top guy alongside Chris Paul. I think if you look at the number of votes he gathered, I think there's been a bit of disrespect on him, on his part, in as much as you might argue, it's difficult to argue against the selection of Ja Morant and Steph Curry.
Exactly.
But from what I expected him to pull more than that kind of number of votes. And again, coming from a small market in Phoenix, Arizona, I think there's still a bit of disrespect on that part. I think if there's anybody that I make a case for, I don't know whether I can remove any of those two, it has to be
Devin Booker. That's what you get when you're not careful. Kachi, I'm going to come to you. Moving to the East, Giannis, of course, DeMar, perfect this season. KD, just like LeBron, can't do any wrong. Joe Embiid, I don't know. I'm not basing it off pedigree. I'm basing it off form. At the start of the season, Joe Embiid was not in the best form. I think he was injured at the start of the season as well. Trae Young as well. I don't know why. Maybe you can convince me and tell me and make case for those two guys, Joe and Trae Young.
Truth is, when I saw the list, I personally thought that the fans, the voting public, got the East right. Except for the fact that if James Harden and Kyrie Irving had been playing consistently, we might have probably seen
a difference.
Three of the starters coming from Brooklyn Nets. But it's very hard to fault that five-man starting list. Giannis is Giannis. He's probably, right now, in my opinion, probably the best player in the league. It can be argued, but that's what I think. Trae Young, big market, standing up very tall, consistently delivering for his team. You may not like it, but it's the truth. Embiid is Joel. The process seems to be back and alive in Philadelphia. Let's see what they will achieve this year. But Embiid, similar to LeBron James, has been averaging almost 30 points per game right now. You cannot fault that. If you remember 3 or 4 weeks ago, when we were trying to forecast who the starters would be, Olawale told you that if DeMar DeRozan is not in the backcourt, there will be World War III. So DeMar has been playing lights out all season long. I think while you can argue the Andrew Wiggins of this world and the omission of Devin Booker from the starting five, it's really hard to argue anybody out of that starting five. I definitely think they got that right. And I look forward to a great All-Star game.
Catchy. I think I think not looking at start at all. From my mind, I was looking at Atlanta, the Atlanta Hawks. I think they are probably, as it stands today, in the East, they are not in contention for. I think they are presently they are 10th, which means they are still within the play-in bracket. Fine, but honestly, I've not been really looking at
the statistics.
The stats. I think Trae Young is number 5 on the scoring. He's averaging 27.5 per game this season. That is scoring, and on the assist, he's number 3, which is is averaging 9.2, just behind Chris Paul and James Harden, which means the numbers are good, but the effect of the number on the team, we've actually not been seeing it, because
you can say the same thing for LeBron James. LeBron has been averaging 30 points per game for all season long. LeBron will win scoring champion this season at the rate he's going, but the Lakers are barely struggling to remain at
probably LeBron reputation is so big that I think before now Trae Young was the only one for me. I was probably making a case for the duo of Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan,
because
I think looking at the numbers but looking at numbers now, I think he deserves to be there.
I would gradually agree, but if your numbers are not rubbing off on your team, I don't know what you're doing there anyways. Golden State Warriors, Brooklyn Nets, on Saturday. That was a good one, and I can't stop loving Kyrie Irving. I think Kyrie is my best basketballer. Like in the past, apart from Allen Iverson, he's my best. It's the person I love most. I don't care what anybody say about him. I just love that guy. I'm like, okay. He told, was it Steph that he told that? So when am I riding next to your yacht or your boat? I'm like, oh, wow. This guy is just, he can't cease to be crazy. Kashi, I'm going to come to you now. Tom Brady, on Saturday, they said he has retired. Early on Sunday, they said he has not retired. But you being the oracle and the godfather of NFL, news instant, what is his true story? Is he retired or not?
The true story is that we finally bid a farewell to the career of the greatest quarterback to ever do it, Tom Brady. I confirm news from every source. And because breaks, you need to look at who the source of that news is. And news coming from Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, you might as well take it as fact. After 22 years and 7 Super Bowls, 10, 22 years, 10 Super Bowl matchups, 7 rings, we finally say goodbye to a sure first ballot Hall of Famer in Tom Brady. Unfortunately, he couldn't get to the Super Bowl again. Brady said he wanted to play until 45. He managed to do it until he was 44. And for reasons, for family reasons, when I watched this Man in the Arena documentary, I realized that he's beginning to think more about his kids who are growing up to become, I think one is now 13, the other one is 11. This is the time he needs to become a father. And also when he looks at the competition behind him, with the Patrick Mahomes, the Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, who by far had a near flawless game in the divisional round against the Kansas City Chiefs. And you see even Mac Jones in the Patriots, you see that the league is in really good hands. The toll of 22 years of taking beatings from big giant defenders ultimately will take its toll on anybody. It's good for Tom Brady's brand that he lives healthy and not broken, and not broken, because right now he's trying to pitch his TB12 diet and all that. You need to show that your diet work, unlike the Regina Daniels of this world that are not using products they are advertising. Brady is using his TB12 products, and he needs to let the world know that if you stick to TB12, you can lead the game at the top of it. He's living at the top of it. He will be eligible for the Hall of Fame in 2027, and everybody will vote. He will probably be the second unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer after Peyton Manning, and what a career. We celebrate him. I tip my hat off to him, and I wish him very well.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much for that.
But to add something to that, I think, Kachi, one thing I agree with you on is looking at the competition, especially I think the Buccaneers are on the American National Football Conference division, the NFC.
Yes,
and NFC. I think that division has a lot of, or that conference has a lot of competition in terms of looking at the Cardinals, Kyler Murray, the 49ers, they are a very good team, the Rams, the Packers. These are very, very good competition, which there is no guarantee that if you even stay one more year, he might get to the Super Bowl again. So I think it's just a smart call for him just to call it a day now.
Yeah. It's for people like that, it's not about the money again. It's just about pride and
no, and that's a very funny thing. Tom Brady had never throughout his 22 years career, he was never at any point in the top 10 highest any player. He always took pay cuts to allow the Patriots to remain competitive. And one very funny fact, he has 7 Super Bowl rings. He has more rings than any franchise. An individual has more Super Bowl wins than any franchise. The next is the New England Patriots at 6, then the Dallas Cowboys and my dear San Francisco 49ers at 5. That's a heck of a career right there.
All right, perfect. Shay, I'm going to come to you now. Dana White, Tyson Fury match has been fixed. According to you, of course, I've not seen the news, but according to you, which I believe, because you are the number one boxing analyst in April, what are we looking forward to? Are we looking forward to a battering by Tyson or Dylan White?
First of all, let's talk about the money. quite a big purse is going to be split between these two fighters. The purse that was the bid that was won on Friday, last week Friday, was $41 million for this particular bout.
Wow.
And it's going to be splitted between the two 80-20. Initially that was what Dylan White was fighting for, to get something higher than the 20%, but it seems it's going to go ahead as 80-20. Also, let's talk about the bout itself. This is going to be like the biggest bout between two British since Lennox Lewis and Rick Barry, and that's as far as 1993. It's a bout for the WBC heavyweight title. We all know what Fury brings to boxing. The skills, the stamina, the height,
the aggression,
the dexterity at which it takes apart his opponents one after the other. Talking about Dylan White, I think Dylan White is a boxer with a lot of aggression also. But of course, we cannot compare Dylan White's career or his boxing ability to Tyson Fury. So definitely it's going to be a one-way bout as far as I'm concerned. Tyson Fury all the way. Let's say Dylan White is just going to put up a little bit of fight because I believe that's how stubborn he is. We saw when he fought Anthony Joshua he almost knocked out Anthony Joshua, I think around the fourth or the fifth round before he was eventually knocked out in the seventh round thereabouts. He's going to put up a fight, but I see nothing stopping Tyson Fury. But this bout is just also telling us that there's a possibility of seeing an undisputed fight very soon. Initially, we were thinking that maybe there'll be a possibility of Joshua taking the sit-out money and let Usyk go ahead and fight Fury.
Fury.
But as it is, most likely, both bouts are going to go ahead and we can see maybe a possibility of seeing an undisputed fight between two British. Anyway, that is just being
being optimistic.
That's just being optimistic.
I have a question for you, Shay. If I take the gauntlet, Debo, permit me. I know we did not have social media in 1990, when 1991, when it was 93, James Buster Douglas did the number on Mike Tyson. Don't you think this is going to be a banana peel for a much relaxed? I'm not saying it will happen. I mean, everything points to a blowout by Tyson Fury, but how big of an upset will this be if a Douglas moment happens between Dillian White and Tyson Fury? I'm saying this because nobody expected Alexander Usyk, or at least let me not say nobody, but a lesser number of people did not expect Usyk to dethrone Joshua. Just say we were all already looking at Joshua Fury, nothing stopping that fight happening. And now there's a chink in the wall. What if a Douglas moment happens? How seismic of an upset would this be, Shane?
Thank you, Kachi. A very fantastic question. But I think if I have to weigh the two boxers and the two scenarios, I think they are a little bit different from each other. Buster Douglas was completely an underdog. Fighting Tyson at a particular period. There were a lot of people looking out ahead to bigger fights for Tyson. Tyson was just supposed to defend, to stay active, actually, to defend his belt at that point, and that happened. Also, Douglas' situation kind of helped him. Around that period, he just lost his mother. His mother happened to be the person that actually his biggest supporter when you're talking about boxing, his inspiration. So all those things really just, you know, we saw a fighter boxing out of frustration and also has nothing to lose. So I think those things, those scenarios.
Tyson was on drugs.
And Tyson was really, really, really underrated Buster at that point. Now, talking about Dillian White and Fury. Fury will be, I don't see that happening for Fury to underrate Dillian White. Dillian White is the number one challenger as a WBC heavyweight champion. He actually carries a belt also because he's called an interim champion. Okay. So I don't see Fury undermining the what White brings to the table. So I don't really see that. But if it happens, you talked about the disarray of order in the heavyweight division, that is going to cause a lot of issues. That is what Usyk did in the WBA-WBO bout by beating Anthony Joshua. Now we have to wait for that refight and also to see if Joshua can actually win back his belt and now start talking about undisputed. It's going to be a big one, but I won't say Dillian White is totally an underdog in this particular bout.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much. And to a not so interesting one, we actually want me to talk about it. Nico Ali is 4-0 up in his career right now after defeating Jeremiah Iaga. I'm pretty sure my pronunciation is poor and it's wrong as well. So I'll just say defeated Jeremiah. But of course, he's the grandson of Muhammad Ali. So we need to talk about him. I don't see so much about him. We'll go on a quick break right now. When we'll come back, we'll be jumping straight into the transfer window where we have a whole lot. And of course, we'll be starting with Mason Greenwood. Don't go anywhere, guys. They said he has the left leg of Van Persie, the brain of Thierry Henry, and of course, the dribbling skills of Ryan Giggs. We've seen what a wonderful talent the young kid is. This is a bad one for the young kid called Mason Greenwood. Nobody can deny his footballing talent. I don't like him, actually, but nobody can deny his footballing talent. He's a wonderful, wonderful footballer. And now this comes into the fore. It could spell potential doom for the kid. his lawyers have come out to say they were doing BDSM, and it was part of what they do in the bedroom, which should be enclosed. And like Kati said on our social media, Andrew, there's always two sides to every story in this world. But how much of impact, potentially negative impact, do you think this will have on the career of Mason Greenwood? Kati, I'm going to start with you.
If everything turns out to be true, I guess the major impact will be, and I'm trying to remember the name of this Southampton lad who is currently in prison for rape. Can't seem to remember. Adam Johnson. It will spell the end of his career. Not only will he do jail time, but it becomes a pariah in the sporting society. Let's make one thing really clear before we even go into any analysis. Domestic violence or assault on the weaker sex, in parentheses, should be abhorred at, should be discouraged, and should be punished if found out to be true. I definitely stand heavily against it. And I say, once found guilty, proper punishment should be meted against the culprit. Now, when I argued that case that there could be two sides to the story, it's because I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. However, if it is indeed true and the court finds it to be true, I think it spells the end of Mason Greenwood. And it's going to be a shocker because this is the distraction that Man United does not need right now. We said it during the production call that if United knew that this would come out in the news, they would not have finalized the loan arrangement or the loan agreement between Sevilla for Anthony Martial. Greenwood has a very promising career. He broke into the United team at a really, really young age, probably only younger than, younger or slightly older than, Wayne Rooney. And he was shaping up to have a fantastic career. However, it lends credence to what Cristiano Ronaldo has been saying. That I've been trying to talk to these young boys in camp, you know, but the money these youngsters are getting at such a young age sometimes gets to their head. I'm not saying that's the case here. It may be a temperament issue. It may just be something else. I don't know. However, back to your point, it spells doom for his career. He found out to be true and guilty of this crime.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much for catching. Alan, I'm going to come to you. A slight change to the story. Looks like if the BDSM story sticks, the parent of the partner does not want to pursue the case in the court. So they might potentially grant him bail. And of course, there might not be any form of charges. But the question is, people tend to think kids because they tend to look at footballers as not kids because they are rich, because they drive G-Wagon. They earn £200,000 in a week. We're talking about a 19-year-old boy, a 20-year-old boy. And most people that walk on the face of earth, especially people within our own age brackets, in their late 30s, early 40s, tend to pretend as if they were never in those shoes before. And as of the time they were in those shoes, they figured it out all on their own. It wasn't some kind of guidance from someone. You know, what if Mason should get out of this mess that he has gotten himself into? What kind of guidance would you prefer? What kind of solution would you prefer to United? Let's pretend you're a consultant for 2 seconds. Would you prefer to United for this kind of young players that make this so much money? They are susceptible to this kind of mistakes. What should be done?
If he's lucky to get out of this, like, uh-huh. Because I think there is a bit of attempt to do a bit of damage control, even on the part of the lady's parents, mm-hmm. which probably I'm not a custodian of law very well. I don't know I don't know the extent at which that can actually help him. But if he's lucky to get out of this, I think for him to have
a successful career, a desire to have. On the part of United and on the part of the parent, they need to come hard on him. I think they need to. It is not, it can't, they need to spell some things out to him and realize, they should be able to realize, with, you are just 1 second away from just ending everything that looks very bright. It's very, very unfortunate. And in as much as I don't want to probably make it a case of young footballers with money, majority of people that, just like what you said, majority of people that, offenders who are the ones that carry out domestic violence, they are regular people who don't even have money in the society. So, but at times when there is more spotlight, when the offender probably is coming from the higher end of the society or somebody who is very popular. So that's why even me, I'm a bit very reluctant to make it a case of, oh, too much of money or this and this. That's why that means, but from, based on the question you asked, if he's lucky, because I understand the society is coming from, he's probably coming from probably a third world country, we might easily find a way out of it, of course. But in an organized society like the,
like Britain, when they still have Daily Mail, Daily Mail will come hard on you so much. Ooh. So much. There was a particular case. I forgot the name of the footballer.
I'm not even ready. If the people who are going to back him are ready for the backlash, whoever is ready for the backlash should be ready for what Nike did for Tiger Woods. So that person should be really prepared to really defend him. But I think he will be lucky to get out of it. I don't know how he's going to do it, but it's actually not looking good. I think the guy needs to be called to order. It's because before now, there've been some kind of news about his behavior that we don't know about.
Yeah.
Initially, we heard about him unfolding. Mm-hmm. There've been some.
I'm going to get to that. Don't get into that right now. That's a question okay. I'm hoping to ask Shayi.
Okay.
For the sake of football, for the sake of Manchester United, for the sake of Mason Greenwood himself and his talent, I sincerely hope he gets out of this. And like you said, when you have press like Daily Mail and the rest in the UK, they are going to fight tooth and nail to end his career. I hope his career does not end with this. See, I'm going to come to you now. Sometimes we need this kind of guidance in our life, in our lives, everybody, even as old as we get, you know. And we see the path being treaded by Phil Foden with Mason Mount. And I think, I said Mason Mount, Mason Greenwood. They went for a particular international match. They were in the hotel calling call girls or escorts and all during the COVID pandemic or isolation or whatever. Yeah. And we saw a stark change of events in the life of Phil Foden. And since then, we've not heard so much bad about Phil, right? Do you think we should put this down to a clamp by the head coach himself, stepping up as not just a coach, but as a father figure for Phil, while we don't have that, unfortunately, for Mason Greenwood? Shayi, if you can answer that, I'll pose the question to Lali.
Okay. Talking about Foden and Mason Greenwood, I think Mason Greenwood had the kind of a cover, the kind of coach to really talk to him, to call him once in a while in Sosha. If you can remember, there are quite a lot of times that Sosha has tried as much as possible to protect the boy. They will keep asking him, why is Greenwood not in the team? Why is he not playing? And they usually find one reason or the other to say about Mason. Okay, he's doing additional work in the gym, so they are taking time out to let him just, you know, mature and all that. The problem, like Olawale mentioned, the problem has always been there. They've been managing Mason Greenwood for the past number of years. That is why at times some of those things don't make it to the news. Foden probably changed his own ways or his form playing for Man City helped him enter, return to the English colour. But at that time, even Manchester United was not playing Mason Greenwood because they know the issues. We're talking about a fantastic, talented football player. I still remember what Solskjaer usually says about Greenwood, Martial, and Rashford. The out of the three is the natural goal scorer out of them. The issue is Manchester United will probably need someone to work on Mason Greenwood if he escapes this. A lot of things will definitely come upon him. He's going to lose endorsements. He's going to lose face. He might not even get to enter the English national team for the next 5 years. But if he's able to, at least if he's not arrested and jailed for this, I think there will be a lot of spotlight on him. And Manchester United will have the onus to try as much as possible to protect him. Not only to protect him as per that he has done something wrong, but to also help him out of this. Ralf Rangnick brought in a psychologist as part of his backroom staff. I think they will probably need a special psychologist for Mason Greenwood after this, if he survives this. We will not stand for such things, especially on this particular channel. But if it turns out that Mason Greenwood got out of jail by the skin of his teeth, then I think Manchester United need to set up
a special
committee to look into this. A special, I'm telling you.
That's why kids need to listen to people. They should not be looking up
people
to,
in front of them, exactly. Of them. People that have gone through all these things over the years.
Without trying to be a party pooper, I see that even on the field of play. That's why I say I don't like Mason Greenwood. Not because he's not an outrageous talent or not. I don't doubt his talent. I see the way he plays, especially since Ronaldo came in. Like, I gotta be the main man as well. Sometimes you just feel it's like playing with the Zidane and you're a Kaká. You can't be so stupid and say, I see Zidane for Kenala. This is Zidane. This is the best midfielder of all time. No caps. Nobody's close to Zidane. Not even Platini. Not even Rijkaard. Not even Gullit. Nobody's close to Zidane. So sometimes you are lucky to have those people around you. Ronaldo is not going to be the best player in the world again. But having him in the team, you should tap off the knowledge, the wealth of knowledge they will bring. Anyways, I just hope he does whatever he does best. So the name of the player that I was trying to remember was Chad Evans. That was the guy. Daily Mail ran down the career of that guy. At the point, the guy had job offers from the lower division. Daily Mail ensured he became unemployable in football scene for the rest of his career. I think the guy is a plumber, a bricklayer right now. I'm not sure what he does right now. It just goes to show you how stringent the British press can be and sensitive to situations like this. Alali, I'm going to come to you now. Ousmane Dembele. Okay, this is a transfer triangle anyways. Arsenal, Mikel Arteta. For a player that has 113 goals/assists for Arsenal over the past 3-5 years, the best player that Arsenal have had over the past 4-5 years, is on the verge of leaving Arsenal. A loan agreement has been signed, sealed, and delivered with Barcelona. Barcelona are going to play, they are going to pay the entirety of Aubameyang's weekly wage, but they need to get Ousmane Dembele out of Barcelona. Ousmane has said he's not going to sign a contract extension. And for them to be able to register Aubameyang, they need to get Ousmane off. Now, Usman and Aubameyang, you know, they are very cool. They are very good friends. Now, Usman potentially could be moving to Manchester United, Chelsea, or PSG, either of the three clubs. Right now, why Aba will be moving to Barcelona? So, which one would you prefer for Usman? PSG, United, and of course, Wolves and Chelsea.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting scenario about the way the old drama that is playing out at Barcelona. For the question you ask about which one is actually, you know, for Usman's career, that looks that we don't even understand where it is going. And I don't, and looking at PSG and United, I think those two are complete write-off. Because United on itself is like you are bringing a their function to come and play with another their function. It's not just going to work. That is going to be a disaster. I can even see that the writing on the wall. United that doesn't even have head and tail. You don't understand? United that has a £5 million, €5 million player, you can take a gamble on and you refuse to sign. Would you rather go and be chasing a £95 million player that you are not sure that is going to succeed? You can't, if you don't understand United case. So him and United should be a no-no. PSG is a no for him too, for now. Because that plays another kind of idea. Everybody's just on his own spirit. PSG is Neymar, Messi, and the others. It is what Neymar and Messi decides in PSG today that will happen. If they don't like you, they don't like you. So I think the only visible place that could probably help his career, if he can actually prove that he's better than the guys available, I think it's Chelsea. I think that United and PSG will be another drama for another 24 months for Ousmane Dembele.
All right, perfect. Kashi, I don't know if you agree with him. With Ali.
For me, I think he should not even contemplate coming to any club in England because of what will happen to his already fragile knees. I think he needs to go to a club or a league where tactics play more than just the physicality. Which the English league is known for. Yes, there are a lot of flair players, but you still know that in England, the Brighton and Hoves would run you down the path, you know. So
no, Brighton plays good football. It's Burnley.
Okay, all right. The Burnleys of this world would run. You know, like you when they are playing at home, you don't even know that you are a bigger team, because if you are leading them and it's one goal and it's 85 minutes, trust me, you will not even believe that you are Manchester United or Man City. They will run the ball down your throat. I think if he can swallow his pride and replicate what Nuno Sahin did after he failed in Liverpool, to just tuck his tail between his legs
and go back to Dortmund
and see if he can. To Germany, not necessarily Dortmund.
Oh, okay. I want to say nobody wants him in Dortmund.
That will be lenient on his knees, you know, that they will not kick him. Let's not even go to Italy. Remember when Ronaldo had the freak accident? After rehabilitating, he still wanted to play in Inter Milan. And those men were like, I don't care what your reputation is. Oh, so you are the one that does leg over Ronaldo. You are the one that, and they damaged his knee again. So because of that, I think he should not go to England. For reasons Olawale has said, PSG is a no-no for him. He might go the Memphis Depay way and go to Lyon and see if he can resuscitate his career if he wants to go to France. But England is out of it. PSG is out of it for the sake of his career.
But the problem here, Kachi, the problem here is Barcelona needs Aubameyang. Arsenal wants Aubameyang gone. Ousmane Dembele has just three of them.
Ousmane Dembele is a Pepe. So Arsenal cannot even bring Ousmane Dembele in.
I'm not talking about going to Arsenal. I'm saying, so he has just three options. And which is PSG, Manchester United, or Chelsea, right? And that has to happen within the next 24 hours or thereabouts.
Okay, if it's limited to just those three, then I agree with Olawale that the best place would be Chelsea. Man U is not a sum of their parts right now. Exactly. Chelsea seem to have a bit more structure, even though they are going through their own with
Don't mind Olawale. He's going to do it at Manchester United. Don't mind Olawale.
I know you need him there so that there will be more drama in United. And you can solidify your fourth position as an Arsenal fan. But for the best of his career, I think the best place would be Chelsea now. Especially Chelsea. Because Pulisic is on misfiring. Mason Mount is blowing hot and cold. Ziyech is coming back a little bit. You know, he has not even established himself. So there is nobody that he has to beat, so to speak, to get a spot. They all have to fight together to get that particular spot. Yeah. So That's where the better chances.
All right, perfect. Shea, I'm going to come to you now. So Bruno Guimarães, everybody wanted him. Next kid on the block, Olympic Lyon, and looks like Newcastle has already blown it. But he has moved to Newcastle for £33 million. And adding to that is going to be Dan Bourne, the tall guy from Brighton and Hove. Both of them are moving to Castle. Looks like Castle is going to beat. Okay. And of course, Dean Anderson of Manchester United, the second goalkeeper of Manchester United, looks like he could still potentially see a loan move to Newcastle as well. If two of these is done already, but if all three are done within the next 24 hours, and possibly if they allow Jesse Lingard out of the jail that he is right now, because his brother said he's locked up at Manchester United, if the four happens, how do you think honestly that Newcastle will be able to beat the drop come May 2022? Yeah,
2022. It's actually tough to say, but I think the best signing they made is actually getting what's the name of their coach, Eddie Howe. Because we know what he can do. We've seen the way he plays football, and he has made personally for me, I think he made two good signings that really showed what he wants to do till the end of the season. Trippier and the Burnley tall guy,
Chris Wood.
Yeah, Trippier being a set piece player, he gets in the crosses in at any point in time. This guy Wood will always be there to head it in. I know that it's not the way Eddie Howe likes to play his football, but that can actually help him to beat the drop. So that is what he has done. Thank you. And seeing that, I think Eddie Howe might just escape the drop. With also this new intake that we're looking at, even though I know Lingard might not, I don't think Man U is going to release Lingard with the issues of Greenwood at the moment, Martial out at the moment. I think Lingard might just finish this season at Manchester United. But looking at the serious approach of Newcastle so far, getting into the transfer market, picking the players they need to make use right now, I think they might actually beat the drop. It's going to be a serious fight towards April, but I can say that they've started picking it gradually. Even the likes of what's the name of this former Liverpool midfielder,
John Joe Shelvey.
Thank you. They started picking up gradually, probably seeing additional players in the team. And I think that can help them fire to safety.
All right.
I wish them the best anyway.
Perfect. Thank you very much for that. So Liverpool are actually looking forward to signing Fabio Carvalho, the young lad from Fulham, for £5 million. Pounds would potentially be a backup for the front three, or should I say the front four right now, or front five. Because if Luis Diaz comes in, we have Diego Jota, we have Sadio Mane, we have Salah and Firmino. So it'll probably be a backup. And don't forget that Liverpool actually rejected an offer of £20 million from Newcastle for Minamino as well, trying to keep Minamino and have a large and durable squad for themselves. Because as it stands right now, they are just fighting on the forefront of the cups in front of them, the Premier League, the FA Cup, the Carling Cup, and of course the Champions League. With that being said, Adama Traore is back at Barcelona. The La Masia boy with the huge build is back. Yeah, it's back. Olali, I'm going to come to you. Everybody keep saying Adama is too big. Adama is not going to make it to Barcelona. And if everybody seems like people have amnesia and they forget that Adama is actually a product of La Masia.
Yeah, probably. Yes, he graduated from the La Masia, but I don't think he was this big when he left Barcelona.
But he made this.
Yeah, I think my only major concern about Barcelona.
Adama. Let's talk about Adama. Forget Barcelona.
Yes, I think Adama plus Barcelona, because I'm just defining. I don't really understand the signing. Probably there are some things Xabi
wants to do.
Juan Laporta, they are saying that me, I'm not saying, because I still think their transfer business looks a bit disjointed. You don't really understand how this is going to fit into their long-term planning. The option to buy Adama, is it? I don't even understand. What do you want to achieve with Adama in the next 6 months is what I don't understand. So long-term, I don't know how it's going to fit in, honestly speaking. I don't know whether they want to change from the tiki-taka to probably a more direct, expansive style of football. Because
I can answer for them.
Okay.
Barcelona just wants to make the Champions League right now. Every other team is secondary. They need that money.
You think Adama could probably propel them to fourth
Adama place? Adama will give them a different option up front. Okay. A more direct option up front.
Okay.
So you wanted to say something.
And yes, I also think Xavi is bringing back people he knows, he trusts. I'm seeing a lot of bringing people back to Barcelona. We saw Dani Alves came back.
Yeah.
Eric Garcia. Now we are seeing Adama. So I think
if he's going to that direction, I only have one word for him. No hand well.
It's a La Masia old boys association.
Really. Exactly, okay. That is trying to.
I think Olale, this is similar to your analysis or his analysis of Newcastle, where you need to be pragmatic right now as against finesse. Stabilize the club. Meet your targets of Champions League football, then integrate your policy. Adama Traore will give them another way to play football, especially when the game is tight and teams seem to have figured them out. All he has to do is pour 4 liters of oil on his body and get on his bike.
And Alale, don't forget something. Money's back. They just signed a 400 million euro, if I'm not mistaken, deal with Spotify. So money's back in Barcelona. Aubameyang up front as well. That's just get to Champions
Aubameyang, League. Fine. I think I can understand the Aubameyang signing. That could probably be a very positive one. But Adama's productivity is actually something.
But it's just six months. I don't think there's an obligation to buy. Anyways, don't let's waste so much time on Adama. We have about 10 minutes left to go. Rodrigo, Bentaco, 2 Tottenham Hotspur, 19 million. Pounds with some add-ons as well. In Ndombele seals a sensational move back to Olympique Lyon, all things being equal, fingers crossed. So that would be like a switch, a like for like. And to a more United related story, Frank Lampard gets Donny van de Beek back. I think this will be a match made in heaven, especially if Donny van de Beek, it looks like a Frank Lampard anyways. With the style of play, it looks like Frank Lampard, very high IQ. I don't know why he's not playing. Maybe he's not fit for the league, but this is the right time to know whether Ralf Rangnick and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer just don't like him, or maybe he is a bad player himself. Malali, what are we expecting from Donny within the next 6 months at Everton?
You know one funny thing about one of the biggest misery in world football in the past 2 years has been Donny van der Beek's case. from a guy we saw that played alongside Frankie de Jong, this is a young captain that went to Juventus. We saw a very good footballer at least somebody who is very decent, who probably had a very good football orientation coming from the Ajax Academy. Since the move, I actually questioned United signing him at that point, because I was actually like, how is he going to fit in with United playing Bruno? But even at that, we all saw how McTominay, Fred keep getting playing time despite putting on poor performances week in, week out. We saw how the coach couldn't at least probably try to change his shape to see how he could accommodate a Doni. I saw his statistics. I think since Doni's time for, is it this season, he has only played 66 minutes of football. That tells you how the guy has not really got a chance. And when Ralph Rangnick came in, most people think the biggest beneficiary of Ralph Rangnick coming to United will be Donny van de Beek. And since then, Ralph Rangnick has probably continued in the legacy of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Keep saying the guy, he works hard. So there is a lot of misery around the guy's talent.
What should we expect? Like, we should expect him to blow or not?
What I'm saying is, I think this will be a perfect, what do you call it?
Redemption.
A perfect opportunity for everybody to see
what he can actually do.
Who Donny van de Beek actually is.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much for that, Lale. Anthony Martial has moved to Sevilla, 6 months loan. I'm not sure United want to see his face again. And everybody seemed to say he's going to be the next big thing for Sevilla. Luis Diaz. The wing sensation from Porto has signed for Liverpool. Jurgen Klopp got on a FaceTime with him to ensure that he has his medical while in Colombia for £37 million with some add-on fee as well for Luis Diaz. So we are having potential, we have a hand, a potential merry-go-round, especially if Liverpool does not renew the contract of does not give Salah what he wants, and Salah has to leave Liverpool, or if Emil is going to be offloaded over the summer. We wait to see how this transfer will pan out on its own. And of course, Derby County today was supposed to be their last game, but Derby County at their home, which is a Pride Park today. They came back from 2 goals down to grab a draw against Birmingham City. -21 for them. Lose a little. They're not going to beat the drop, but this is a fairy story, whichever way you want to see it anyways. And Denis Zakari has signed for Juventus. €5 million euros with possible add-ons. This is a guy that the Tottenham boss for Arsenal, Manchester United have been chasing for the past 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. But now he has landed at Juventus. Valovic, the guy that Arsenal has been chasing since the start of the without transfer window, has signed for Juventus as well for a small amount of £58 million with a possible add-ons as well, depending on performances. This is wonderful business for Juventus. And to a not so fantastic one, Aaron Ramsey has been offered to Burnley. The coach of Juventus, for some second day, I can't remember his name. Allegri has said Aaron is not needed at in the Turin again, and he could leave, but nobody is showing interest except for Burnley. Kachi, we understand the pedigree of Aaron. Quickly, is this an insult on the career of Aaron, or he should just go to Burnley and try to play?
I guess if it was Brighton and Hove, we would say it was a good move. You corrected me earlier in the show saying Burnley does not play good football. So I struggle to see how he's going to thrive there, knowing the style, the coaches and the teams he has played for. The only time Aaron plays direct football is when he goes back to Wales. So maybe his Welsh experience would help him there. But Allegri has said he's surplus to requirements. You definitely don't want to stay in a place where you are not needed. He needs game time. They are still in, I think they're in the playoffs to the World Cup. He needs to remain fit. So just for that particular purpose, and anyway, they are going to pay your salary. My friend, please go there and make your money. Now, he's not thinking of being World Football of the Year. He's just thinking of playing football. So go to Burnley, get the exposure, closer to home. London to Cardiff is just a 3-hour bus ride, even shorter by train. I guess it bodes well for him that way. But for footballing reasons, it's not the right move to make.
Anyway, talking about direct football, Canada defeated United States 2-0. Good one, a big step towards going to this year World Cup in the winter.
Oh,
of course.
Sorry, can you repeat that story?
We Canadians defeated. I don't know about you Nigerians. You guys are out of African Nations Cup. We Canadians defeated United States for the second time in 37 years. 2-0 goes by Ken Larin and Sam Adekugbe, who happens to be of Nigerian origin. But of course, someone should correct me. I know I get the pronunciation wrong. Hurelien, the Monaco guy, has been placed with an £83 million price tag on him. Anybody that wants him should pay £83 million.
They should sign him themselves.
United is interested, Real Madrid are interested as well. He currently has a contract, is tied down to Monaco up until 2024. We hope it does not end up like Bakayoko. And Julian Alvarez has been confirmed as the new Manchester City player, is going to be on loan back in Argentina and coming back in the summer of 2022 back to Manchester City. That's the wrap and that's the show. Thank you guys for being with us. Till we see you again next week, don't stop for support. Bye.